time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen. It's long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
And we are back here celebrating the 85th birthday of Charlie Evers on WWGH Radio, and I think we have somebody on the phone. Caller, are you there?
Hi, Charlie, this is Keith Sider from the American Meteorological
Keith,
Society.
Hey, I was just talking about you to Gil Gomez.
I heard a little bit of that online, actually. That was great.
Oh, boy. And Keith, I've gone into your website quite a few times. You're busy.
Yeah, we are busy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been very exciting. Our community is doing great things. People are seeing the value of the forecasts and the value of the science that we're doing. So it really is. It's an exciting time to be in meteorology right now.
Yeah. Now we talked one other time. I asked you if you really believed the weather is changing, and do you really think so?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. What we're seeing with climate change is very real. It's showing up in all kinds of ways in terms of impacts on a growing season and what we're seeing in the Arctic in terms of sea ice, what we're seeing in rivers, even things like the hurricanes that we've seen here recently and the horrible flooding that's happening in Texas. All of those things are consistent with what we were expecting to have happen. As the Earth gets warmer, storms are slowing down a bit. They have more moisture available to them, and so the kind of flooding that we're seeing is very much the kind of thing that we've been expecting to see.
Wow. Now, Gil Gomez, I just talked to him. He said that we might have a halfway mild winter with three maybe major snows, but they would melt fast. Of course, you're not in the long-range prediction, I'm sure.
Well, there is some skill in those forecasts for the long range, but I haven't actually looked at the forecast for this winter, so I can't speak intelligently on that.
You
one,
don't
I'm
read
afraid.
The Farmer's Almanac, huh?
Yeah, that's not a good source.
Can you imagine
there is some good science there, though.
Can you imagine your the people around you, you're reading the old Farmer's Almanac, and they come in and say,
I have to admit that I give that to my wife as a joke every year for Christmas.
Hey, remember the time we went out to Martell Elementary School? You went with me to talk about weather.
Yes, that school, was great fun.
Yeah, that school closed many years ago.
Oh, I know. But it was a terrific day spending some time with you and getting a chance to interact with some of the younger folks. It was great all the way around.
Hey, Keith, I wanted to ask you now, what exactly did Gil Gomez and Charlie mean to you when you were here in the Marion area?
Oh, it was terrific. Gil was wonderful to me. I actually went up to Cleveland to visit him, and he was able to give me some great advice in terms of places to look at to go to school for meteorology, some of the things that were happening in the field. And I think he even gave me some copies of some old magazines and things that he had that had stories in them. So really, he was just a wonderful influence in that regard. And of course, Charlie, you've you've been an influence on everybody that's grown up in Marion for decades now. I don't think there's anybody who hasn't been influenced by you in one way or another. And congratulations on your birthday coming up here tomorrow. It's just terrific.
Well, Keith, I thank you very much. Sure, good to hear you. Wow.
Yeah, it was good. I wanted to take a chance to just congratulate you and wish you all the best.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Keith.
All right. Great.
Okay.
Good mm-hmm. talking to you.
Keith Sider. Now, Charlie, now what exactly is Keith's position?
Okay, he's the executive director of the American Meteorological Association, the top job in meteorology.
And Very interesting.
And he came from Marion, graduated,
from Marion,
I think,
Ohio.
With Terry Klein.
Is that right? Well,
yeah.
Keith called in, and we're so happy for that.
Oh, boy.
Now, Mary Ellen's got to leave in about 10 minutes, so we wanted to talk a little bit with Mary Ellen. Now, you talked about listening to the radio a lot in those days, Mary Ellen. How important was listening to Charlie, who was on in the mornings, I imagine, when you were driving to work?
Yes, I always listened to Charlie, and I always listened to Madge Cooper. And other than that, I can't remember other things that were on, but Jack Armstrong, was that on WMRN?
No, he was on I think WJR, yeah. The All American Boy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I listened to that when I was a kid, and
Captain Midnight.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, now I remember we had Yuki Butcher, or what was it called, Big John and Sparky, at 5 o'clock every evening. Big John and Sparky and Mayor Plumpfront. And a character by the name of Yuki Butcher.
Now, Jeff, it's interesting because you have a story about when Mary Ellen was being sworn in and the broadcast. This is always worth telling. Go ahead.
It was not one of Terry Cole's fighter days. Terry was our news director, and we sent Terry to Washington to cover the story. And he had checked in, what year would this have been?
It was in 94.
Okay. So this was kind of when cell phones were just kind of coming into their own. And Terry got to wherever the ceremony was going to take place the afternoon before, checked in, everything sounded fine. So it was going to be, I think, at noon?
No, it was at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, okay.
Yeah.
So, of course, we had been promoting this for, you know, 2 weeks that, you know, Terry Cole live in Washington, D.C. with the swearing in of Mary Ellen Withrow. So came time for the swearing in. Well, everybody and their brother had cell phones and so forth, and Terry could not get a signal out. And it's like 1:58, we'll be checking with Terry Cole real soon. 1:59, Terry Cole will be calling real soon. 2 o'clock. I know Terry Cole's calling in. We'll be talking with Terry real soon. 2:01. I know Terry Cole's out there, and we'll be talking with Terry Cole. And it was like, you know, every minute, and it was like 2:20, and it was like, well, Terry, give us a call sometime, because by that time we knew it was over. And he eventually called us. But it was one of those things. There were just so many people there, with the television stations and the radio station, and he just couldn't get a signal. So I don't know if he did an interview with you after the ceremony or not. But I don't remember. Yeah, he kind of described everything that had happened. But it was one of those things that you know, station management, you know, wasn't happy because we'd been promoting this for so long. But I mean, Terry did everything he could. It was just one of those things.
You know, Charlie, you were on the air as, it's interesting, the same year Mary Ellen went into the political arena, your voice was heard on the air 51 years ago. Kind of interesting.
Amazing, isn't it?
50 years, half a century ago. What was it like to watch her ascend up on the air?
I thought, here's another case where somebody, excuse me, from Marion, really did well.
That's right. And we like to see that.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want your water, Charlie? I got your water over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just kind of moved you out of the chair. When you look back at your career, what is the highlight?
Climbing up on the courthouse and putting the statue there. Oh, that was a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. It was... And I called the fire department and told them to have emergency crews standing by in case I fell off. I might need help.
That's always a good thing in case you fall off.
And that whole thing came together. The Marion Community Band was there. They played the Star Spangled Banner. Once I tightened the last bolt, down and I spread out my dad's American flag that he got, well, it was his casket flag, and the band struck up, and we also had a contest to name what Lady Justice means to me among school kids, and I've got those entries yet. It was a day beyond belief in downtown Marion.
Wasn't there a fire that broke out?
We set the courthouse on fire. The dome had bird nests in it underneath the outer layer, and when we were welding the platform for Lady Justice, the sparks caught those and smoke started rising, and I thought, oh, I hope the fire department doesn't get a report on this. But we finally got the fire out. We had to have fire extinguishers sent up to us on ropes from way down all around the inside of the courthouse, all the CO2, which wasn't a good thing to put out a fire like that anyhow. But we hauled them up there and got it out before anything else happened.
And many people have called in and said they were watching from work, watching you climb this. Apparently downtown came to a stop. This was 1980, was it?
November 15th, 1980. Yeah, it was probably the biggest historic event that was ever held in downtown Marion.
And how long had Lady Justice been gone?
She was stolen in the early 50s.
By?
Dick Carey.
Dick Carey. But at that time, nobody knew that when
That's
you were
right.
putting it back on the...
And the way it all started, Mrs. Neff, Maxine Neff, called me and said, Charlie, I'll give you $300 to help repair Lady Justice if you can find her and get her back up there. And so that started the whole thing. And the very first person that called me was Charlton Myers. And he said, Evers, don't talk about that statue anymore because I bet whoever's got it going to destroy it once they hear you. Well, that didn't stop me. I kept going. And I found out within actually 10 minutes after I was off the air, somebody told me where I could find a picture of the thief. He was president of the Marion County Historical Society.
And this was kept under wraps for quite a few years.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yes.
Now, he helped also in some way. He was there the day it went back on top of the courthouse.
That's right. And he was there. I don't know if he was there for sure, but the day we unveiled her after we brought her back, she was covered with a stolen blanket from the Harding Hotel.
So it was just all stolen material.
And Channel 10 was there for the uncovering.
Now, Buckeye Chuck, how did that all come about?
My interest in groundhogs. And they used to laugh at me. They did quite often anyhow at the radio station. But I did so many studies of the groundhog that when it came out, in fact, I would put a white flag at the entrance to his den, not realizing he had numerous dens. And he would have to knock over the flag, and I could tell when he came out. That never happened, really, but when I knew he came out, I would follow him, his tracks through snow or whatever, to see what the groundhog did once he did emerge. And
well, I think we might have another surprise coming here. Well, Mary Ellen, I know you have to run, but I thank you so much for coming in today.
Well, I wish Charlie many, 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 many more.
Well, thank you, Mary Ellen.
Yes, okay.
Mary Ellen, 40th Treasurer of the United States, and soon to have two schools in this area.
Yeah, isn't that something?
The signs will be up here in Marion. Now, Charlie, put the earphone to your ear there, and we're going to go to our next surprise guest here. Now, this person spent some time at WMRN during their career on air, and I know had some exploits with you, Charlie, and this person can still be heard on the air. Caller, are you there?
Oh, I better be here. I've misdialed.
Steve Stewart.
No kidding?
Yes.
Steve, I haven't talked to you in years.
Well, I know. Well, happy 30th.
Well, thanks a lot. I listened to you, Steve, on the car show.
Yeah, I'm still do the car show, and I mean it is amazing that time has passed so quickly, and when we're younger, they always see, you know, your parents are going, yeah, time really flies, and yeah. But here we, and I've got to tell you, when I look back in my broadcasting career, there were never any times more fun, unpredictable, and in parentheses, interesting times that we had when I was back at WMRN with you and John Steele when he was on the air at the same time.
Yep. And remember the time that I cut your tie in half with a pair of scissors?
Yeah, I've got, you know, there are a number of things that I remember. Let's see if you remember. So, I mean, it goes without saying about the peanut push. That was always a big deal. So that's obviously one of the easier ones to remember. But do you remember the time that one morning when I was driving into the station that the first thing I saw when I made the right-hand turn into the parking lot was a customized outhouse that had been built and placed in the front yard of the radio station, which eventually made its way to the county fairgrounds. I had my own little monument there. I had my outhouse monument thanks to thanks to you and your pesky friends. You remember that?
Yes, and I've got pictures of the outhouse and you standing in it with the title Stewart's Arena.
And you know how appropriate. Oh. With everything that we did at that radio station, that was the appropriate final resting place.
That's right. Can you imagine doing anything like that today?
Well, you know, in some respects, wouldn't that be kind of refreshing if radio took a step back in some ways? And
yes.
You know, that local involvement, you know, those fun things. And, you know, Art Martin was a president and general manager during a lot of our time there. And I have no doubt that he probably rolled his eyes to the back of his head more than once.
Yeah, right.
with some of the things we did. And, you know, John Steele and I, the fun part about us was, you know, and I look back how old you were when we were there, and you really weren't that old, but we always teased you about your age. And the fun thing about your age was, even though you were older than John and me, that no matter what challenge we would come up with that would be physically challenging, you always beat us. And one of the favorites that I remember was the Kuqua Ditch Race. Do you remember that?
Yes. Grave Creek, yeah. Do I remember? I've got pictures of that.
So for people who wouldn't know what that was, this was a challenge that John Steele and I did against Charlie. That I think, Charlie, you were going to canoe a Grave Creek, and John and I, we were going to go cross country. And we believed that we could beat you to Waldo versus you doing, I think, the canoe.
Yeah. Well,
And the reality of it was, no surprise, you beat us. And John and I, I'm telling you, we had to go over fences, you know, we're running through fields, you know, and laughing the whole way. And besides the thrill of, and it was kind of fun losing to you, despite the fact that we'd give you such a hard time, the payoff was the outstanding and still available fried bologna sandwiches.
Oh, yes.
From the GNR Tavern. And a little cold beverage to go with them. That was kind of the highlight of the race. And I will tell you that those fried bologna sandwiches, you know, the memory stuck with me. There has been more than one time when I've had to drive through that area, and I've called and done a carryout order of a fried bologna sandwich.
Isn't that something?
to take back with me where I live now. Okay, so... So that was another great memory that we had. So there was another one. You were very, very proud. You would have thought it was your child, and we were jealous. But you were very, very proud of your International Harvester Scout. You remember that vehicle?
Oh, I sure do, yeah.
And no doubt you probably have pictures of that too, right?
I thought I had a recording of it, but I can't find it.
So Charlie gets this four-wheel drive vehicle, and it's a very cool vehicle. And Charlie is very confident about the ability of this four-wheel drive vehicle to maneuver
in the snow. So we had some pretty bad snowstorms when I was there, and a couple of blizzards. And so Charlie said, come on, let's go out and take a look at the roads out in the backcountry. So we hop in the old Scout, and we're driving back on some of these county roads. Wind is blowing. Visibility is not great. And the next thing I know is we feel like we've raised up a little bit. Well, yeah, we've raised up. We're on a snowdrift. And so, so Charlie, he's going, I can't believe we're stuck. And I go, yeah, well, we're stuck. And so then I'm going, you know, you're young and perhaps overly concerned. I'm going, Charlie, we can't have the exhaust pipe covered with snow.
I remember.
It covers with snow, we're in trouble. You remember that?
Yeah. And I had dual exhausts. And I opened the door, and one of the exhausts was clear. I said, see, no problem. But the other was plugged up.
Yeah. And guess who had to get out to look at the other one?
Yeah, right.
It was me.
Steve Stewart, you had the loafers on.
That's exactly right, because I believed you. How stupid was I? So we're on the air now talking about the fact that we are stuck out on whatever road it was and figuring, you know, what are we going to do? And then, you know, Charlie had a great following, and it was a family atmosphere. So the next thing I know is, Charlie, we look down the road, and here comes one of those huge four-wheel drive tractors coming our way. You remember that?
Yes. Don
Loudenslager. Do you remember who owned that, who came and saved us?
Yeah, Don Loudenslager.
So he pulls us out, and I've told this story a lot of times, particularly to people who get new four-wheel drive vehicles. I go, the one thing Charlie and I learned about a four-wheel drive vehicle is you just get yourself potentially stuck four times worse than anybody else.
Yeah. Once your wheels are off the ground, that's it. Remember, too, a man came up in a snowmobile to our window and gave us coffee.
That's right.
Mr. Starner,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have predicted that?
Yeah.
And then we had, do you remember the weight-off contest we had between you, me, and John?
Oh, yes, that's right.
So once a week, we would, and it's not like any of us are really heavy. Well, John might have needed to lose a little weight. And we decided we were going to have a weight-off contest. And, you know, John was convinced that he would win that contest. And it seemed like every week when we would weigh in, John would be the one that would be putting more pounds on while we're taking pounds off, and John was the one that was typically starving himself. But I forget how long that went, but that was another one of those impromptu little challenges we had. And then, of course, you know, there was the other thing that I always remember was Buckeye Chuck.
Oh, yes. And there's a picture of us in a magazine somewhere, of holding the microphone. You were holding the microphone at the den, of course, and he didn't come out, naturally.
Well, I remember when we were talking about what we were going to call him, and of course you came up with a natural name, and then, I mean, who would have imagined we actually, again, due to your relationships with a lot of people, ended up getting him made the official Groundhog of the state of Ohio.
Yes.
So every Groundhog Day, I always think about those fond memories of us over in that wooded area.
Oh, boy.
Where Buckeye Chuck lived.
Boy, so, I tell you, Steve, yeah, we couldn't duplicate anything like that if we tried. The whole era.
Nope. And you know, it was all spontaneous.
Yes.
This wasn't like stuff that we'd sit around and go, okay, what are we going to do tomorrow on the show?
I remember us saying something like that. What are we going to do next? Not knowing what we would do next.
Well, and you know, I was a news guy. So, you know, initially, you know, I didn't come in as a news guy, but when I came in, you know, doing the night show, you know, it was all about the farm hour and all of those things that you would do. I mean, it all took a great evolution. And then I remember we had the one blizzard where I think you got in on a snowmobile. I don't remember for sure. Did you get in on a snowmobile?
No, but I hauled the county road superintendent in to take him to work.
And I ended up having to do the news and everything out of where I was living. And but, you know, again, we did what we had to do, and it was, you know, while they were you know, important things that were going on, you look back, and they were, I mean, they were really fun. And
oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's yep. really, it's hard to imagine. It's been a number of years ago, that's for sure.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
Hey, Steve, I wanted to ask you this. You've been in broadcasting a long time, still in broadcasting every weekend there on WJR. Charlie Still Listens, the car show. Your time with Charlie and here in Marion, what did that mean to you, and how? Where do you put Charlie in the pantheon of broadcasters you've worked with? Are you there, Steve?
Nope, I'm back. Sorry,
okay,
hit the wrong button on the phone system. I apologize.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, where do you put Charlie in the pantheon of broadcasters that you've worked with, and what does that time in your career mean that you were with him?
Well, you know, I don't think you can compare Charlie to anybody. Charlie is a unique mix and a unique talent from the standpoint that he has a lot of expertise in a lot of different areas. Some areas more than others, Charlie. And he was always a great relationship builder, whether it was with the listeners or whether it was with guests on the show or community leaders, state leaders. That's a talent that you don't find so much anymore, where you have people who have genuine people relationships. And he was always good at that. And I think that's what set him apart. That's what set the show apart. That, you know, if he could get somebody on, ask them the tough questions, but there was still that kind of a relationship there. And I think that he had that respect. So, you know, when you say, well, how would I compare him? I wouldn't compare him, because I think he's a unique brand that's very tough to find these days.
Steve, one other thing. When we were talking, you were driving in, and you had the mobile phone, and one day you said, I think I'm going to change my own oil. And how do you do it? And I said, well, you raise your hood and unscrew that thing, that cap right there in front. And I corrected that, you know. But when you went into Cooper Auto Supply, they had heard that, and they burst out laughing when you went in.
Yeah, and to this day, I'm not a mechanic. And I will be the first to say that I'm smart enough to leave the stuff to the experts. But the beauty of you was that, again, it was kind of a fun thing. I mean, that was kind of the alter personalities that we had between you, me, and I always reference John Steele because, you know, when he,
that's right,
the three of us were there together, it was a great, grouping.
You know, he went on to United Nations Radio, and now he's doing books, audible books.
So is he reading, is he one of the readers for the
yes,
books?
Yes, yes, yep.
Well, that's good. I talked to John maybe... Oh my, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And then, you know, Jeff Ruth, of course, came in while we were still all there together.
That's right.
And
I'm right here, Steve.
I know, that's what I hear. And Jeff, I mean, the amazing part again, in this business, for you to have stayed at MRN for, what, 40 years?
40 years, huh?
40 years, for you to maintain the position you had, and then to retire, unheard of. I mean, it just doesn't really happen.
I thought I would last there 2 days, and I don't know if you remember this, but I started in the evenings, and you used to have a show, I think it was on Tuesday nights. It was like an hour talk show.
Wasn't that Insight? Didn't we call that Insight?
Could have been Insight. So Monday night, whoever was there, was showing me around the station. Well, Tuesday night, you come in for your show. I didn't, I had never met you. Nobody had explained the phone system to me. So, 2 minutes before you go on the air, you're trying to explain the phone system to me. And we had I thought it was a complicated phone system. And
Back then, right.
I don't remember who you had as a guest, but I don't know that we ever got him on the air. Call in, you'd hear the dial tone, or, John, are you there? And I thought you were going to come through the window and strangle me. And I thought, this is my last, I've been here 2 days, and this is it.
Well, and you remember on that phone system, it was a double bank. It was an old black dial phone. And you had to punch the bottom row of buttons. At the same time, I think you had to punch the top row of buttons, and then you had to pot up that particular area. And then, let's not forget, the infamous tape caster delay system. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was a nightmare.
Oh, it was.
That was a loop tape that was going round and round, and if that tape would start to stretch or whatever, it threw the delay off. It was a friggin' nightmare.
Okay, I'm glad you didn't come through the window and strangle me.
Well, I have a lot more patience now, so it's fine. But congratulations to you as well.
Well, thank you.
You're a great guy to work with, and you've had a pretty amazing career there, too.
Very blessed. Thank you.
I know how it goes. I know my time is now up. It is 11:45. How quickly the 15 minutes went! But
thanks, Steve. Wow,
Charlie. I can't tell you were one of the highlights of my career and all those antics. And time knows no place when you have such great memories like that. So happy 30th!
Thank you.
And and I'll look forward to our next conversation, hopefully before your 40th. But you just never know. So thanks for asking me on the show.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care, guys.
Steve Stewart, they are still doing the car show. Now, when's that on, Charlie?
It's on WJR on Saturday mornings around 9 o'clock in that area.
Now, where's WJR on the dial?
760. That's the station I've listened to since I was born, I think.
760 a.m. on the dial, Steve Stewart. Oh, my goodness. Steve knew when to get off, because here we go. We've got another call we might have a call here. Because we like to give equal time on this show, our next surprise today is a man that Steve just talked about. How about say hello to John Steele?
John!
Hey, Charlie. How are you? Happy birthday.
All right. Thanks. Hey, Steve, have you had anybody cut off your tie lately?
I've wrote down a few things that I remember from working with you and Steve.
Yeah,
and that's on my list.
by the way, John, I'm still living in your house.
Oh, are you still there?
I am still there. I am 40 years later.
How about that? I've been in so many different houses, and you're still in the same one.
Believe it or not, I'm still in the same house.
Isn't that crazy? Man. It's good to talk to you, Jeff. Congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you very much. We have not talked in a long, long time, and good to hear your voice. You still sound the same.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. It's good to hear you. And, man, I loved hearing Steve. I haven't heard from Steve in so long.
I haven't either. This is the first time and since he left. Yeah.
Wow, and he sounds just like, it's just like going back in time.
It sure
listening
is.
To the two of you on the radio.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Well, John, what are your memories of Charlie?
I guess probably the peanut bush, of course. Got to always say the peanut bush. And the practical jokes that Steve and Charlie were always pulling. two that I remember, the cutting off of the tie. Because I didn't know they were going to do it, and they had it already rigged. They wore ties that they wanted to cut. So they cut them off in front of me, and I think my jaw hit the ground.
And I remember you taking my cap and throwing it on the ground and stamping on it and saying, how would you like somebody to do this to you?
Another one I remember, it was always bringing in some kind of goodies. I brought in a cake. we took a slice out of it, and while I was on the air, because I came on after you,
yeah.
I think it was you, Charlie, stuck a dead fly.
I did.
In the cake.
Yeah. I put it, and then put the piece back in, and you couldn't tell that it had been messed with. And I don't know who cut that off and found the fly, but that was fun.
Yeah. thank you very much. And I remember being there for Groundhog Chuck.
Yeah.
When you got that rolling and the outhouse appearing on the lawns, the arena.
All right. And the cruise down Grave Creek.
Oh, yeah. I've still got pictures. I went through some pictures the other day, and I found the pictures I have of Steve and I standing in the creek. Because I think I dumped us over trying to get into the canoe.
He had rubber gloves on because he didn't want to get his hands wet or dirty from the water. And then he stood up in the canoe and away you went.
And, man, those fried bologna sandwiches. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yep, that was... It would be hard to ever equal.
Yeah, you can't beat it. You know, that was the most fun I ever had in radio.
Yeah.
Working with you and Steve.
Oh, it was a great era, yeah.
It was.
And you're doing audible books now?
Yeah, I retired from radio. I worked at the Voice of America. I heard you guys talking about that. I worked at the Voice of America and retired from there after 20 years. And then I moved down to North Carolina. And while I was at The Voice, I got into recording audiobooks, and I'm still doing. I'm working on one right now.
Wow, great.
Yeah. So how are you feeling, Charlie?
Well,
how are you doing?
Well, not too bad. I use a cane nowadays.
Ah.
But I'm able to get around.
Yeah.
And I work here 3 days a week.
Oh, 3 days a week.
Still on the air, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And you'll be 85 tomorrow?
Yes, right.
That's incredible.
Probably one of the oldest broadcasters around nowadays.
Wow. I would, like Steve said, I wish we could go back in time and more radio stations be like you are and what you're doing now.
Yeah, didn't we have fun? And the audience had fun, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you guys were talking about, you never knew what was going to happen, and it always turned out to be so much fun.
Yeah, because it was all, like no plans, it just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, another big thing I remember, Steve and I remember riding with Steve. He drove the news van out to that guy's farm, and we saw Lady Justice, in the hay underneath the floorboard.
Right.
I was with Steve when we drove out there.
No
that
kidding.
Was so cool.
Yeah. Well, Steve did a lot of groundwork for us to get everything straightened out. In fact, he had to help sign a letter, I think, saying that we would bring it back, and otherwise the thief would have gone to jail or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it all worked out great.
And then watching you on top of that dome. I don't know how you did it.
It was scary.
heights scare me, and I don't know how you got up there and did that.
I found out after I got down the ground my safety belt wasn't fastened right.
It wasn't?
Thank goodness I held on with one hand mostly, I'd have fallen off, yeah.
Did anybody ever take any video of that?
Yeah, there was a video made of that, and the man's dead now. 2.5 hours of me... First of all, climbing up to the dome and the helicopter arriving and so forth. But I've got some pictures of the helicopter and different things that people took and gave me. In fact, a girl from one of the schools did an essay on that whole thing and won $1,000 scholarship.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and made a clock for me. And the hands are the same hands that are on the pictures of on the courthouse clock. So a lot of things.
Boy, you've done so much. Yeah. You've done so much. You're like an icon. You're a legend.
It's been fun.
Yeah. And there's still at the fairground.
The what now?
Charlie?
Yeah.
You still have Evers Arena at the fairground?
Yeah, it's still there, yes. Yeah. They've been did a lot on improvements inside. It has restrooms now, too.
That's
great. Yeah, they have a lot of shows that take place in there.
That's incredible.
Yeah. 1978.
1978 is right. When that happened?
Yeah, that's when that was built. Yeah.
Wow. Because I left for a while. I followed Steve up to Toledo, and then I ended up coming back. And I think you were working somewhere else when I came back.
Yeah, I was at WDIF on FM.
Yeah.
I was there 10 years and wrote a daily news or a weekly newspaper column, too.
Oh, you did that? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of water's gone under the bridge.
You sure keep busy.
Yeah. Now, it's slowing down now, though.
You are slowing down?
Yes, somewhat.
Well, you deserve it.
So, John, you say that time with Steve and Charlie was the best time of your career.
It is. You know, I've worked at other radio stations, and Toledo working with Steve was nice, but when I left Marion, I went to Dayton, Ohio, and worked at a couple of radio stations. And then I went from there up to Washington, D.C. Nothing was ever like working with Charlie and Steve at WMRN. Yeah. The radio jobs just became jobs. There it was like family. And it was fun going to work every day because you never knew what was going to happen.
Boy, that's for sure, yes.
Yeah.
What an amazing time. Well, John, I can't thank you enough for calling in. It really makes the show today.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you, Scott, for inviting me to join you this morning.
Good hearing your voice again, John.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Take it easy.
All right,
enjoy
thanks.
Retirement.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, I am.
Okay.
John Steele. So Steve Stewart, John Steele, and Keith Sider this hour. Not too bad.
So where is John living back in Washington, or is he still in North Carolina?
You know, I don't know. We should have asked him.
Okay, because he mentioned he'd moved to North Carolina. I didn't know if he had moved back to Washington.
I don't know. Now, John and Steve were big parts of your career at MRN.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Seems like that's when all the stuff was going on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The groundhog, the statue, and everything else.
Now, we do need to thank the L&P Cake Shop. They did have a cake made. You haven't even seen the cake yet,
no,
have you, Charlie?
It's about time to eat it.
We're going to have to look at the cake here. We're going to have to get some pictures of the cake and do that. And we still got another hour and more surprises to
really?
Come along. Oh, yes. Oh, you can't believe what's going to go on in the next hour here. And Jeff's going to stick around, and we're having a good time. Patty Worcester, your wife is here, Charlie. Your daughter has joined us.
Kathy.
Grandson.
Amy is here, and my grandson, Reed.
And we don't have, because people don't know, but in the new studio here, when we turn on the air conditioning unit, it makes noise.
Yeah.
So we don't have the air conditioner on.
Oh.
So it's about 108 in the studio right now. So we might have to turn the air conditioner on during the break we're going to take here. And if it hums a little, it's going to hum a little during this program. But we thank Kimberly's, and we thank L&P, and Charlie Evers' 85th birthday coming up tomorrow. And maybe this is somebody else. I don't know. We'll see what's going on here. Let's check this out real quick. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Bob Bender.
I wanted to
wish Charlie happy birthday.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Good to hear from you.
Well, it's always good hearing you, Charlie. As everyone knows, you and I go back a few decades.
That's right.
That's okay.
Remember, I named MRN Brand X. After I came to WDIF.
True. And competition's always been good. It makes everyone a little better.
That's right.
Well, I wanted to just wish you a happy birthday and, again, remind the listeners what a great person you've been and what a great contribution you've given to broadcasting and the entire Marion community. Your age does not reflect your enthusiasm, your interest in life, your innate curiosity about everything, and you're just generally a great guy to be around.
Well, thanks a lot, Bob. I really appreciate it, and I remember you being the guru of news. I mean, you were so good in news and professional until the time that I stuck those carrots up my nose.
Well, anything to make me laugh and break me up, and you were successful.
That did it.
But thank you, Bob. Thanks, Bob, for calling in.
glad I could join the celebration.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob.
Bob Bender, the newsman at WDIF for a long time here. I think Bob is at attending a class reunion somewhere on the East Coast. So that was nice of him to call in. We're going to go to break, turn on the air conditioning, and come back with the final 45 minutes. Stay tuned.
Full of Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner.
You have always lived a very public life, certainly since Mary Tyler Moore. Is that when people come up to you, say hello, want to take your